Okay, good morning. Morning, everyone. Are you enjoying your extra hour? Oh, maybe you're using it here. I sent people an email. Got an extra hour for God? Use your extra hour for God. So anyway, we're all here. We got an hour. Let's use this hour for God. Right? That's the best way. Okay, we've been doing a series on Exodus. Exodus is, you know, God's salvation is seen in Exodus. God's salvation to his people, to Israel, is seen in the Old Testament. It corresponds to what Jesus did for us. Old Testament is he, Exodus. New Testament, Jesus, right? The one informs the other. Okay, so this is message number 5 in that series. We talked about, we're up to the point, Exodus chapter 3. Ian covered last week at the Moses had an encounter with God at the burning bush that changed his life, changed his direction by encountering God at the burning bush in Exodus. To help us with that, you know, and that was to help him know his God, right? So our title today, this morning, is Know Your God at the Bush. Moses got to realize, who is my God? Knowing who his God was changed him, changed his life, changed his direction. So to bring us up to speed, we got a 2-minute video of Moses at the burning bush, and then we can pick it up from there. Okay? All right. You know, if you know the story, you can check what you saw against the story. It wasn't quite that simple. You know, that's the short version. Final words, with your power, I will set your people free. Moses was a little bit more hesitant than that. So let's go get into that. You know, our title is Know Your God, right? If we know God, that will help us. Will change as it changed Moses' life, can change ours. There's one verse, not from Exodus, I like to just point out to you, help me, from Daniel, goes along with that. The people, Daniel 11:32 says, the people who know their God will be strong and take action. The people who know their God will be strong and take action, right? So knowing our God, knowing who God is, knowing the God we have helps us, strengthens us, encourages us to be strong and take action based not on what we are, on what he is, who he is, and that relationship with him. That's Moses, what applies to Moses, and it can apply to us too today. So, okay, Moses had tried to do something for God. That was those flashbacks. It didn't work out well. He was an exile away from his people, away from also from Egypt in the desert, wilderness area, and keeping sheep for about 40 years. When he's approaching 80, God appears to him at the bush. That's what you saw depicted, right? And God wants to send him. So let's pick up that at that point. That's where Ian left us last time. I think we have it in the verses. In Exodus chapter, yeah, there we go. Exodus chapter 3, God is going to send him. I'm going to do this. God says, I want to deliver my people. I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to bring them to a good land, which is all good. Moses, yeah, God, do it. Then punchline, God says, therefore, to Moses, therefore, go. Moses, you go. You go. I'm sending you. I am sending you to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God is commissioning Moses. But Moses says, firstly, his number of points. Moses asks God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out? What qualifies me? You know, I've got all this history, including failures, you know. What makes you think this is going to work? God answers, verse 12, I will certainly be with you. Moses, yeah, I'm sending you, not you without me. I will certainly be with you. That's the promise of his presence. And this will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God on this mountain. That was the mountain known later as Sinai. Okay, let's go forward. That's one objection, and God has answered. Okay, Moses has more than one objection, isn't right, of why he's not applying for this job and not accepting the offer. Verse 13, then, number two, objection. Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? The God who sent you, Moses, what's his name? What will I tell them? God replied to Moses, so the issue is, what is his name? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Who's sending? I am. So God is talking about himself. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites. Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name. So the issue is his name. He's first, God talks about I am, who I am. I am. Thirdly, it says Yahweh, which is a Hebrew word, name, which is related, as you might expect. It's related to I am, who I am. It's related to I am. Then he says, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. Okay, I think we can read more. It goes a little bit farther. Go to Israel. That's what you're going to tell them. Number two, go and assemble the elders, the leaders of Israel, and say to them, similar, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. And God's saying, I've paid a close attention to you, Israel, and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised you that I will bring you up from the misery of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, a land flowing with milk and honey. God will bring them up. God is, there's a number of statements here in parallel, right? God says, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abram, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Say that to Israel. Number two, to the leaders, say something very similar. Yahweh, the God of your fathers, God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He's going to bring you out of this land to another land, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. Let's see. I think we have a little bit more. Yeah. They will listen. The leaders will listen to what you say. Then you, along with the elders of Israel, go to the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, and say to him, say to Pharaoh, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now, please let us go a 3-day trip into the wilderness that we, Israel, may sacrifice to Yahweh our God. However, God says, I know the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, will not allow you to go unless he's forced by a strong hand. I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles that I will perform. After that, Pharaoh will let you go. Okay, I think we can stop there. All right, it's a good section. God's name. This is God. You know, our title for the whole series is Exodus. God reveals, God rescues. God reveals, God rescues. Right? This is God revealing. God is showing and letting Moses and God's people know this is your God. You need to know your God. Here's what I am like. Here's my name. Here's my description. Here's, right? Okay, God revealing, and that is related to God rescuing his people. So we're going to talk about his name. Amen. His name is Yahweh. You may say, I don't know that name. Okay, you need you like Moses. We need to know that name. You know, a lot of us, if you're a Christian, you say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you? Christians say, hallelujah. That's Hebrew. Hallelujah is praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's praise, praise, praise. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah is praise Yah, Yahweh. You got it? Hallelujah, praise Yahweh. You've been saying it. I'm not asking you to say something you haven't been saying, right? When you say hallelujah, you're saying praise Yahweh. That is God, the God in Hebrew who revealed himself to Moses and to Israel and said, this is my name forever. Amen? All right. Yahweh, actually in Hebrew, there's something about their language. They didn't write in the Hebrew Old Testament, they did not write the vowels. I guess they wanted to, you know, the vowels were, okay, so that's why it's, if you go back one slide, that's why it's YHWH. That is not in itself pronounceable, we need, right, to us, YHWH. What is that? Depends on the vowels. So Yahweh is God, right? Right? It's the God who's revealing himself to Moses and to Israel, to God's people. And it's when you put in the vowels becomes, the next slide, woo, Yahweh, right? Yah, those, right? That's the Y, the H, the WH. Whoa, we got it. We had two vowels. We got it. It's Yahweh. And he is I am. I am. So let's just talk about that a little bit. God first says, I am. I am has sent. I am that I am. You know, God, and this word Yahweh is related to that. It's the Hebrew, right? So it's related. God says, I am. I am that I am. You know, he's God is eternal. He's always I am, right? Not us. You had a beginning. You're going to have an end to your present existence. Yes, you are now. You're I am now. There was a time when you were not. There will be a time when you're not in the current existence you have now. So your I am is not the same as God's I am. God can say, before Abraham was, I am. Actually, before Adam was, I am. At Abraham's time, I am. At Moses' time, 1500 BC, I am. At the time of David, 1000 BC, King David, I am. At the time of Jesus, I am, etc. And today, God can still say, I am. And I always am. So his I am is an absolute I am. You get it? That's why we capitalize it. Your I am is a little I, a little am. But your I am can be joined to the big I am. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then it'd be the big I am with a little I am. Together. Amen. All right, so God says I am. Amen. I like it. I like it. You know, he's the eternal God. He's the creator God who's always I am. Even before time, he's I am. He's always present, existing, right? And he's always will be. So in Revelation, it says, he who was and who is and is coming, right? He always was going back. You know, who created God? Answer is nobody. He always was. He's I am, the eternal, uncreated one who creates. That's God. He's the I am. Amen. But here's the good news. God is relational. Amen. I like this. You know, there's a difference between, you know, different religions offer you a different, you may say, some people say all religions are the same. They all point to God. No, they're not. No, they're not. The Bible, and especially what we're covering this morning, God presented in the Bible is different. And what we see of God, who is our God, is different than any other religion. Amen? Right? Because, you know, Moses talked about, God, what's your name? And God answered, this is my name. God has a personal name. God revealed to him his personal name. There's a general word for God. And that comes up in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, that there be light. And God said, let the land appear. And God said this. And God said that. And God saw that it was good. Everything in Genesis chapter 1 is God. That's a generic term for God. It's Elohim. Elohim. Genesis 1. That's the general word for God. Right? That's in Genesis chapter 1. Because why? There's God, and God is the creator, and he's creating things. Things and life and every all material thing, all existence. That's God the creator. He is God. But then after things are created, God wants to relate to his creation, and he's no longer just God in that generic sense. He has a name. He has a name. And not only that, he wants us to know his name. And his name is, so he says, my name is Yahweh. That's a personal name for God. Moses, this is my name, personal name, Yahweh. You know, some people don't like to tell you their name. I went into a store the other week, dry cleaning. The store is Aziz. Cleaner. So there's a man there. I said, so are you, the thing says Aziz. I think I said it right. I said, so what's your name? Are you Aziz? He said, no. I said, so what's your name? He said, I just work here. I said, so what's your name? I just work here. He's not forthcoming. He doesn't want to tell me his name. Why? Because telling me his name means when I come back and things are not right, I know who, you know. Think about it. When you're calling the service, customer service, ask. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. Ask them. So, what's your name? If you don't ask what's your name, next time you call, oh, it wasn't me. Right? Oh, it was somebody else. I'm sorry. We start again. What's your file number? What's your name? What's your phone number? I gave you all that stuff before. If you know their name, right? It means something. They know it means. It means I'm going to hold you responsible. When I call back next time, I'm asking for you. Okay, that's a personal name. It means more. Okay, the Bible shows us God. Yes, he's the creator, but he's also a personal God with a personal name that shows us he wants to relate to us. He wants us to know him. He wants to be related to us. In the Quran, in Islam, God is Allah. God is always Allah. And God is never more than Allah. You say, what is Allah's name? Allah's name is Allah. Allah in the Quran equals God, the name. It's not a personal name. It's a generic name. In fact, if you were to translate the Bible into Elohim, into Arabic, you would translate it Allah. Maybe. That's one option. So Allah in Arabic corresponds to God in the Bible. That's not a personal name. And that should, you know, why? Because in Islam, God is not personal. God is not a personal God. God does not, there's not a personal relationship with God. He's God. He's, yeah, he's great. Yes, he's far away. He's transcendent. He's mighty. He's a lot of things, but he's not a personal God who wants to relate to you personally. But praise God. Hallelujah. Yahweh is a personal God. The God in the Bible, yes, he's Elohim. He is God. He is the creator. He is transcendent. He's also immanent. He's close to you. He's Yahweh. He's a personal God. Yes, he's powerful. He's mighty. He's Elohim. But he's a personal God. He's Yahweh. Yes, he can be. He's outside of time. He's outside of everything. He's not restricted by his creation, but he wants to be close to us. He wants to care for us. He's also Yahweh, right? When God says to Moses, yes, I am that I am, but I'm Yahweh, and I'm the God of your fathers, there's a relationship. I'm the God of Abraham. I established a relationship with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, and I want to establish a relationship with these people, Israel, because I'm a personal God. Amen? God is personal. Amen? Right? You know, on one hand, you know, God is great. He's I am also means he's self-sufficient. He's independent. He doesn't need anything. You know, he's self-sufficient. He's sufficient in himself. He's independent. Access. God does not need anything. Yet this same God who's independent, self-sufficient, wants to relate to us. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it means. You know, so even if you forget that, right? You know, it's all right if you forget, you know, the actual term. No, I've forgotten how to pronounce it. That's okay. He is a personal God who wants to relate to you, to me. That's what God is. That's what's implied when God speaks to Moses. Then every statement, go and tell the people, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob has appeared. Go and tell the elders, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob has appeared. Go tell Pharaoh, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, the God who's related to the Hebrews, the God of these people wants them to come and worship him. That's the personal God. Amen? It's all right. It's good. Hallelujah. Amen. So, right? In your Bible, most Bibles translate this as Lord. Lord. L-O-R-D. And a lot of times it's capitalized. Lord. But actually, Lord means master. You know, he's the Lord. He's the master. They use Lord, actually, behind that in the Hebrew is the four letters, Y-H-W-H, Yahweh. Yeah, you read Lord. Some people say Jehovah. That's kind of a mistake. We won't get into that. But anyway, what's behind it is the name Yahweh. When you see Lord, you may, you know, actually, Lord is a little bit official. You know, recently, the other week, the premier of China visited the UK. Right, there we go. See, there's the president, the president of China, President Xu. Sorry, excuse my Chinese, President Xu. Jinping visited China. Okay, I got that right. Xu Jinping. Thank you. Visited Britain. They really rolled out the, you know, they want to, you know, Britain wants to be China's best friend, BFF. So they rolled out the red carpet. And look, even Kate, Princess Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, wore this red dress, Chinese red, right? The Queen is there, you know. Okay, let me ask you, if you were to meet the Queen, how would you address her? Oh, we better get this right, because one day you might meet the queen. Don't say your worship. Don't say Liz. You address, okay, let me give you a little tutoring here. You address the queen, Her Majesty. She is Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. You can address her as Her Majesty. One time I had a chance when I was at Weston to meet the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, her husband, came to Weston 100 years, and all the faculty were there. Everybody wore their best robes, and we were told, you address His Majesty, the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip is his full title. But let me tell you this, they were also told, you don't speak to him unless he speaks to you. Oh my goodness. You say, now was I there? Yes. Did he speak to me? No. Okay, anyway, that's the side. Okay. Okay. See, Her Majesty, His Majesty. We have another couple of pictures, I think. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay. There's the Queen. There's Prince Philip on the left, the Queen in the middle, the Premier and his wife. Okay, think about this. If they're fault. Now, what should the Premier of China call Queen Elizabeth? He could say Her Majesty. And he should, Her Majesty. But, you know, BFF, we want to be best friends. She should say, just call me Liz. You can call me Queen Elizabeth. That's a little bit, right? That's one step, Queen Elizabeth, you know, right? Okay, let's go. Okay, so they really made friends. She said, let's go for a spin in my, let's go for a spin in my coach. So they went for a ride in the royal coach. And then, you know, the Premier's wife, they got to meet Prince William. I think we have another picture. Right. Oh, there you go. Prince William. Right. Kate. You know, if they want to be friends, he could say, just call me Will. Just call me Kate. Personal. It means more. Right? So, okay. The point is this. God, yes, he's God. You can call him God, but he's a personal God who wants to be known to us, relate to us, right? Is he the Lord? He is, but, you know, don't get stuck with it. It's not an official, you know, he doesn't want to get restrained by an official position. Yes, he's the Lord, he's the master, but he wants to be a personal God to you, to me. Amen? He came to Moses that way. More than that, you know, when Jesus came, Jesus coming was the coming of God. This God, God the Creator, God who showed himself at the bushes, introduced himself as Yahweh, God of Abram, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. So in John chapter 8, when Jesus is challenged, he tells the Jewish leaders, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham saw me today and he foresaw my day and is happy. The Jews said, you're not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? He's 2,000 years back. Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. That's bad English. He should say, before Abraham was, I was. That's proper English. But Jesus is deliberately doing that. I am is what God said to Moses. I am is God's declaration about himself. I am. So, right, Jesus says, before Abraham was, existed, I am. I am. And the Jews knew and he knew, you're telling us you're God. That's right. You're telling us you're the God who appeared to Abraham. This God, whose I am. Yes, he is. Jesus claimed to be God. This God who wants to be personal with us came in the person of Jesus Christ to bring God to us that we could enter relationship to him. He died for our sins on the cross, shed his blood. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life so we could be in that relationship with him. Sons of God, daughters of God, that's the even closer relationship that we could call God our Father. Right? That's what this personal God has done with Jesus Christ. Amen? It started, but there's a step here at the time of Moses of God's telling him, I am, and I'm the personal God, and I'm the saving God. I'm going to save Israel. And when Jesus came, he's going to save us. He came to save, and he came to establish this relationship with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Way. Amen. Okay, we're going to stop there. Okay, we're going to transition seamlessly because Jesus is the Savior. He is the personal God. And he, in his death, he asked us to remember him, remember his death, remember his resurrection. We do that. We're asking the musicians to come up. We do that by... with the bread, with the wine. If you are a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you, if you feel comfortable, to join us, partake of the bread and wine. If you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus, the Lord, you know, you can just let it go by. No, we're not offended. And, you know, when you have more understanding and more appreciation, you can also free to join us. Okay, so we're going to do that. And sing and worship. And say, maybe there's a song that says hallelujah. Well, let's see. Hallelujah.
Reverberations have to settle. Hopefully reverberation says life as well. This is the end of the service this morning. We've taken a few minutes longer than normal, but this was for a sister's baptism. Seldom have we had the whole congregation for a baptism. May the Lord bless us. And fortunately this morning we have lunch together, so we're about to have lunch. It'll start in about 10 minutes. We hope everyone will be able to stay, and we'll be able to meet Jackie's friends. They'll be able to meet us. We'll be able to meet some in this congregation we haven't met before. May the Lord bless our time over lunch. And since we won't have a time to pray together, perhaps we could bow our heads now and we'll pray for lunch right now. Amen. Dear Jesus, thank you for everything that's transpired this morning, the speaking from your word, your living presence with us, the communion, the partaking of the table with you as our host, and culminating with our sister's baptism. We praise you for your overflowing blessings here, Lord, and we just ask for your presence richly at our meal together. Let us eat with you and with one another, and we ask for you to bless our food, bless our time, and bless our fellowship together. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please stay for lunch. We'll see you next week.